May God richly bless you. If you've got your notes, don't read in advance. I'm watching. It's my dad's birthday tomorrow. He's 82. So that's going to be an interesting day tomorrow. I don't look old enough to have a dad that's 82, do I? Thank you. So the theme is for this year, can you remember? Some of you know. What's the theme? Devoted to him. And today's going to be a slightly different sermon. I was going to bring some birds in and do a sacrifice on one, but I thought I wouldn't. But I will just go through the motions of that. But I believe, this is the gospel according to Robin Baker, that God and our Lord Jesus Christ is more devoted to us than we are devoted to him. Do you believe that? Anybody, when you were younger, had a crush on somebody and you really liked them and you would go after them? I never had this problem because it was always the other way around. And you'd like somebody, but they didn't like you back the same way. Anybody had that disappointment? Yeah, Brian. There's some counselling at 4 o'clock today in the Rees Room. The statement I want to make today is, I believe that God is totally more devoted to us than we are to him. Do you believe that? The other day I went walking, I was just thinking, actually, how much God loves me. I spent time thinking about how much he really loves me and how devoted he is on here. And our love and devotion to him, the scales would fall heavily on his side, isn't that true? But does it mean because we can't ever be devoted to him in the same way as he's devoted to us that we shouldn't be devoted to him? Does it mean that? Of course it doesn't. It means we can love him with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength. Deuteronomy 5, verse 6, verse 5. God desires us to be devoted to him. God desires us to love him with everything that we have. Jesus himself said in Matthew 22:37, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Now we know that scripture, don't we? We know it well. But is it in here? Or is it here today? So we're going to look right in the Old Testament now at a sacrificial system that God created in the Old Testament in Leviticus to teach us about devotion to him, to teach us about God's devotion to us and our devotion to him. So we look at Leviticus 14, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, these are the regulations for any diseased person at the time of their ceremonial cleansing. When they are brought to the priest is to go outside the camp and examine them. If they have been healed of their defiling skin disease, the priest shall order that two live clean birds and some cedarwood, scarlet yarn, and hyssop be brought for the person to be cleansed. Then the priest shall order that one of the birds be killed over the fresh water in a clay pot. He is then to take the live bird and dip it in, together with cedarwood, scarlet yarn, and hyssop, into the blood of the bird that was killed over the fresh water. 7 times he shall sprinkle the one to be cleansed of the defiling disease, and then pronounce them clean. After that, he is to release the live bird into the open fields. We'll pick up the rest of that story in a minute. This account is a unique sacrifice performed on the day of the leper's healing. As we study Leviticus, we find this amazing sacrificial system established in the Old Testament, and we have the foresight now. We have the opportunity, as we study the Bible, to see what it really meant in the Old Testament and what it was pointing to. We have the opportunity to see why it is so relevant for us today. This sacrifice is called Zipporim. Now, right from the start of this story, we find that the priest is in his camp. He's in his place of comfort. He's in his place where he lives. And in the camp, there are no lepers. People are spiritually clean. But what happens is, if there is a leper that needs to be healed or to declare their healing, the priest has to do something. He has to leave his camp and he has to go to where the outcast is. He has to go to where the leper is. He has to leave his home and he has to travel into the place where the leper and the outcast is. The wonderful ministry is given by God, ordained for the priest, of a mercy ministry. I love mercy ministries, do you? I'm thinking of setting up another work that we do called Mercy Ministries. And the more and more I find out about Jesus, the more and more I find how merciful he is. Do you believe that? Christ is set aside by God to show mercy to those people that shouldn't really receive mercy, but God sends them to the people that need mercy. The priest has to go to those suffering from this terrible disease. So he goes from the camp in order to determine their healing, to sacrifice, to declare them free of leprosy, and the cleansed leper, the outcast, is then able to enter into the camp. Isn't that good news? So let's look at those a little bit more as we set the scene. Firstly, Jesus is the high priest. There is no priest like Jesus. There have been many priests throughout Israel, but there is only one real high priest, and that is Jesus. Leave heaven. He had to leave his home, the place where he's worshipped, the place where he talks with the Father and they create another universe, where the angels are worshipping night and day. Jesus has to leave the camp to come to where the outcasts are. The problem is, as spiritual lepers, we could never get into his camp. We could never make it. We know there's a massive gulf separating us from heaven, from the presence of God, and that is because of sin. It was absolutely impossible, or it is absolutely impossible, if Jesus had not come down from heaven for us to get there. Isn't that true? And we see this in this account right in Leviticus of our high priest who comes to us. Secondly, Jesus is the merciful high priest. He's full of mercy. I get this picture in my head of the Father and the Son talking about how they're going to restore mankind. And the Father says to the Son, "You go." And the Son replies, "Yes, Father, I'll go." I want you to close your eyes for a minute. We sing all kinds of songs in church about all that Jesus gave up. But for a minute, I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit just to maybe impress something upon us that we've not done thought about before, of exactly what Jesus had to give up to come here to the outcasts, the spiritual lepers. Only a short time, 33 odd years, but he had to leave. Think for a minute, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the kind of things that Jesus would have to have laid aside for you and for me. What a merciful Saviour. What a merciful High Priest. Jesus had to pay the ultimate sacrifice. But only he can pronounce spiritual lepers clean. Only he has the authority and the power to do that. You see, Jesus could have decided to judge us from heaven. Him and the Father could have talked about us and go, "Do you know what, this sinful bunch of people, all they deserve is judgment." But do you know why he didn't? And do you know why the Father didn't judge us from heaven? is because the Father is totally devoted to us. Isn't that amazing? You may have somebody in your family that does amazing things for you. Maybe somebody that's no longer on this earth. Maybe it was your dad or a brother or a friend or a husband or a wife that would do anything for you. Nothing was too much. Nothing would be a problem. Whatever you asked, they would do for you. But how much more our high priest has done for us. Our merciful high priest. So in this account, mercy prevails over judgment. Isn't that good news for us? Tell the person next to you. Mercy prevails over judgment. So in this account in the Old Testament, the priest represents Jesus, and yet he is so much more than that. He's not just any old priest. And the leper represents you and I, mankind. We are the spiritual lepers. We're the outcasts. The leprosy is the sin which separates us from God. So only the priest could declare the leper cleansed. The leper could not go into the camp until he had been declared healed. In your notes, it talks about four things that they had to bring. We're not going to look at those today because of time. But two birds were part of the sacrifice. I was going to bring two birds today. I asked Medin to go and catch me some, but he didn't. But the priest takes two birds. And when you look at the two birds, he always takes the stronger and the bigger and the better bird to sacrifice. See, Jesus is the stronger, the bigger and the better. He's the best. So the priest would look, he would choose the bird. And he would sacrifice the bird over running water into a clay pot. And the blood from the bird would flow into the water. The chosen bird that was sacrificed symbolically points to Jesus' sacrifice that we learn about in the New Testament. It points forward to the time about what was going to happen to Jesus. So let's look at some scriptures, just a few. There are many. You can do your own study following this. In John 19:34, we find this, the crucifixion of Jesus. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. You see, these sacrifices weren't just made up by God. There was a purpose and a plan, always in the Old Testament, pointing to the New Testament, where we see Jesus. We find this sudden flow of blood and water. Do you remember that a sacrificial system always requires the innocent to die for the guilty? Always requires the innocent to die for the guilty. Jesus was completely innocent, and he had to die for us. In 1 John 5, verse 6, this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testified, because the Spirit is the truth. Last year, we spent quite a bit of time looking at the Day of Atonement. We looked at how the high priest, one day a year, would stand in front of the people, and on his right and his left were two goats. Do you remember that? Two identical goats. And they would take a lot of the two. And one was chosen to die and one was chosen to be set free. And the goat that was chosen to die was taken into the temple. He was taken to the east. And we looked at the first sermon that we looked at in looking at our identity in Christ, where we looked at as far as the east is from the west, so as our sins removed from us. Do you remember that? And at the east of the temple, which I overlooked in Jerusalem, the Garden of Gethsemane, they would take the goat at the east and they would sacrifice the goat. And then the priest would take the blood, he would take the hyssop, and he would walk into the west of the temple, as far away from the sacrifice. And he would go into the Holy of Holies, and he would take the blood and he would sprinkle it on the mercy seat and on the curtains and sprinkle the blood of the innocent sacrifice to pay for the sins of the world. I often think about Jesus' sacrifice for us. In fact, on Thursday, I went walking and I was praying for two things. I was praying about the funeral that I was taking on Friday and about this sermon today. And I thought about Jesus, the high priest, the innocent Lamb of God who was sacrificed for our sins. And I don't know whether you ever use your imagination and think about things about what it must be like in heaven. I often think about heaven. Do you know why? Because that's my home. But I thought about the time when, for the first time, after 33 years, Jesus is brought back into the physical presence of God the Father in heaven. And we find this sacrificed lamb. Behold the Lamb of God. But we know he's the high priest. And the difference is here. That this time Jesus doesn't bring the blood of a goat. He brings his own blood to the Father. For us. I thought, what a day that must have been. Never to be repeated ever again, because Jesus would never die in that way. I wonder what happened in heaven. I wonder, and this is the gospel according to Robin Baker, but I'm just getting you to think about this. That for the first time in history, there is quiet in heaven. Because Jesus has returned to the Father. And all the angels are wondering what is going to happen now. And Jesus walked to the Father with his blood. And I see the voice booming out. Well done, son. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. I see a party in heaven where the angels are dancing, where the praise has been, it's never been before. And the only people that are silenced are the demon and demonic forces who know that they are defeated once and for all. And Jesus, as he offers his blood to the Father, is totally devoted to us. Isn't that wonderful? Spend time thinking about what Jesus has done for you. Spend time thinking about how Jesus has made it possible for you and I to be no longer spiritual lepers, but we now allowed in the camp. So the sacrifice bird describes Jesus dying for our sins. The leprosy describes our sin. The cedar wood, the scarlet thread, the hyssop are tied together to the bird, the second bird, and the bird is then dipped 7 times in the blood and the water. 7 is a biblical number for completeness, complete cleansing, complete healing. We find then that the leper is sprinkled 7 times with that blood. Complete purification. What do we know in the Old Testament about someone was sprinkled or dunked? 7 times Naaman. Do you remember Naaman? Naaman was this mighty warrior who had leprosy. In fact, you'll find only in that book, he's the only one that it is noted that he's healed from leprosy. And he refuses at first to go and wash in the dirty Jordan. I've been in the Jordan, it's not very clean. If any of you come to Israel and you haven't been baptized and you want me to baptize you there, it's not the cleanest of rivers. But Naaman was dunked 7 times, or dunked himself 7 times, and on the 7th time, he came up well. clear from leprosy. Centuries later, Jesus comes to the same running waters. Centuries later, Jesus, in obedience to the Father, comes to be baptized in water. And we find John the Baptist. John the Baptist is a Levite. He's from the tribe of Aaron. And God gives John the Baptist this amazing ministry of running waters. And you see how the New Testament and the Old Testament are linking here. The priest brings the sacrifice, the best. And who's the best? Jesus stands in the water. And there's a bit of discussion between Jesus and John. And John says, you should be baptizing me. And now Jesus says, this must be fulfilled. And so John dunks Jesus in the water. Let's have a look at it in Matthew 3, 13 to 16. And Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now, for it is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. That must have been, if we could go back in our time machine to that day when Jesus was baptized, that would be one of those days that I would like to go back to. This baptism points forward to the death of Jesus. So John the Baptist, the priest, performed the sacrifice in the running waters of Jesus so that spiritual lepers can now be cleansed, so that Jesus can proclaim them healed, and so they can be allowed into the camp. What's the camp for us? The family of God. What's the camp for us? Heaven, our home. Now, when we give our life to Jesus, we don't go straight to heaven. Of course we don't. But already we're invited into his family, to be part of the family. And we know that no matter what happens on this earth, no matter what happens to us, one day we will enter the camp of heaven and spend eternity with him. So just as the second bird was saved by being dipped into the waters and blood of the first, those who came to John and were baptized for the forgiveness of sins and were cleansed. They were spiritual lepers who had repented of their sins and were declared free from sin. And that is why, as Christians, we get baptized. If you are a Christian and you've not been baptized, I want to encourage you to be baptized. It doesn't mean to say you're not saved. I don't believe that. I believe when you give your life to Jesus, you are saved. But we're being baptized in him. And so if you've not been baptized yet, and I know I've had the opportunity to baptize many, many of you, today, or not today, but over time. I'd like you to think about that today. Romans 6, 3 to 4. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we may too live a new life. Every one of us that are proclaimed to be Christians, that are Christians today, stood before Jesus as a spiritual leper. None of us are better than anybody else in this room. A leper is a leper. A sinner is a sinner. Sometimes people go, well, I've not sinned as bad as that person. I mean, that person's killed somebody. I've never done anything as bad as that. Sin is sin in God's sight. Every one of us stood in front of Jesus that have given their life to Jesus at one point in their life. Think about that time you gave your life to Jesus. Think about that service. I remember the service. I was sitting towards the back of the row and at the front, and the minister calls, and I'm at the front. And I'm thinking, what am I doing? Had to get out my seat. Some of you remember those times. We give our life to Jesus. That means what we say is, Jesus, I recognize I am a spiritual leper. I'm a sinner. And I need to be made well. I need to be healed. I need to be cleansed from my sin. And the merciful Jesus looks into our eyes and he goes, son and daughter, you're clean. He declares with his mouth that we are now clean, which means that we can enter into the camp. Isn't that good news for us? If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ today, I want to tell you he is waiting right now, right here today, for you to accept this cleansing. He's waiting to invite you into the camp. For a minute, I'd like you just to close your eyes in case there's anybody in this room that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because at every opportunity I will take to invite and encourage you to meet my Saviour, our Saviour. This is probably one of the most important decisions. In fact, it will be the most important decision you ever make. But Jesus is here today, the merciful high priest. He has come down to you. He's right next to you right now. He's looking into your eyes and he's saying, do you want to be healed? And if that is you today, I'm going to give you the opportunity to raise your hand so that I can pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I just want you to enjoy this moment and take it for yourself. Is there anybody in the room? Thank you, sir. Is there anybody else? Just for a little bit longer. Is there anybody else? I want to say to you, you will never regret making that decision. Jesus is not here to judge you. He's here to pour out his mercy upon you in his grace. Thank you for responding. You might want to speak to me afterwards about that. Isn't it good that today, when Jesus looks at us, we're no longer under the curse of sin. He just sees us as blessed people. Do you know you're blessed? Tell the person next to you, I'm really blessed. As followers of Jesus, we have been baptized. We've been dipped into his death. And I love it when the merciful priest declares the leper clean. Again, I'd love to be there in those days of Leviticus, in the book of Leviticus, and see the excitement on the leper who's now declared clean. I love it when people give their life to Jesus and there's this excitement of, wow, I'm no longer dirty, I'm clean. Then the priest does one more thing. So he's gone to the leper, he's declared their healing. He takes the bird that's been dipped in the water, and then he takes the bird to an open field, and he throws the bird in the air, and the bird flies heavenward. Just imagine that for a minute. I used to raise doves, and I used to do that quite often. I used to love throwing them in the air. Esther's dad used to breed tumblers. Do you know what tumblers are? They fly up in the air and then tumble down. And you just watch them flying heavenward. The living bird points to Jesus rising for our justification. Justification is an interesting word, but let's break it down. Justification is just as if I've never sinned. So we have sinned, but when Jesus declares us clean, it's not that we've sinned and he's forgotten it. It's not that we've sinned, he's written it down and then he's ripped up the paper and thrown it away, but he still remembers it. It's as though we've never sinned in the first place. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that good news for us? He doesn't go, we bring up our sins sometimes, oh God, I've done it again. And God goes, I'm trying to, what was that? I don't remember what it is. The bird rising is our justification. It's just as if we've never, ever sinned in God's sight. I just love that. I love the fact that I remember the things I've said and done. I remember the big mistakes that I've made in my life, and you do too, don't you? And you know, the person, the biggest person that causes us problem in our life is ourself. Because even though God's forgiven us, we choose not to forgive ourselves. And it's like all that work of Jesus on the cross, you know, he's done all the work and he's forgiven you. And you say, well, I can't forgive myself, but why can't we? If he can and he's died, then we should be able to forgive ourselves today. Today, maybe you need to forgive yourself for something that you've done. And remember, it's just as if you have never done it in the first place. Let's look at Matthew 8, 1 to 3. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, what does it say? If you are... Interesting, isn't it? You can make me clean. I see again Jesus coming to this leper, everyone looking at him. Don't touch me. Keep away from me. And Jesus walks up to the sinner, the leper. He walks right into their space. And it's like the leper's head bowed. If you're willing, would you just do something? And Jesus takes the man's head. He lifts his head up. He looks into his eyes and says, what? If I'm willing? Of course I'm willing. That's what I'm here for. I'm absolutely willing. And he makes him well. Isn't that lovely? The merciful high priest comes to the sinner, comes to the leper and says, I'm absolutely willing. And I want us to get this in our heart. I believe this year, that God is absolutely willing to do anything and everything for you to know how much he's totally devoted to you. If you'll let him. Will you let him? So, what should that mean for us today? Now we are a cleansed spiritual leper. We should, from this point onwards, look towards heaven and seek things that are of above, and not to spend this new life which God has restored us in pursuit of earthly pleasures. Does that make sense? That bird was free to fly wherever it wanted. Do you know where it went? It went heavenward. You and I, now we're set free, should keep our focus and our gaze heavenward. Isn't that true? The reason we start to sink is when we take our eyes from Jesus and look at the circumstances around us. That was what happened to Peter, wasn't it? Now, we stepped out in faith. Fantastic. Who else has stepped out and walked on water? But he stopped looking to Jesus heavenward. I need to say something today, and this is not a word of condemnation. I don't want anybody to take that. But you know, one of the biggest problems we do, we give our life to Jesus and we've got our eyes on Jesus and everything's so exciting. And we focus on him and we're praying and we're spending our time with Jesus. And then something, as a shift that happens, we rely on the pastor to bring the message and we focus on him a little bit, or on the elders, or on our life group leaders, or on another Christian that becomes our friend, and we start to take our eyes up off Jesus a bit, and we put our eyes on these people, and the pastor fails and the pastor doesn't live up to the expectation and the life group leader doesn't, and what happens is we don't finish very well in our life because we've taken our eyes off Jesus. Or what happens is we give our life to Jesus, we give everything to him, we're so passionate about serving Jesus, we're willing to sell all our possessions, willing to do anything for Jesus, but then something gets in the way, some earthly thing gets in the way, and it starts to take a place for us. I want to say, now that we are clean, say to the person next to you, you are clean. And do you believe that? Now that you are clean, That doesn't give us a license as a Christian to do what we want, how we want, when we want. Does that make sense? It doesn't give us a license to do that. Some Christians think it does. Some Christians think, well, I'm saved, so it doesn't matter what I do in my life. It doesn't matter how I behave. Absolutely, it does. It should give us the desire to be totally devoted to him. There should be a desire in our heart to be in love with Jesus. And I'm hoping this year that everyone, 100% of people in this room, will be more devoted to Jesus, regardless how long you've been a Christian. Some of you have been Christians longer than me, and that's saying something. That you will be more devoted to him than ever before. Because I believe in 2018, you are going to see things you've never seen before. This is going to be an interesting year. We are going to see amazing things happen. I tell you the kind of things I think we're going to see. We're going to just be blessed because God's hand is blessing upon us. And we don't have to do anything, but he'll just bless us. And I believe 2018 will be a year of miracles for many of us. You've been waiting for a miracle. It's coming. God is going to bless us. But we need to keep our eyes on him and to be devoted to him. Let's just finish this sermon in 5 minutes. And so, Alan, if you can be ready in about 3 minutes. Okay. Let's read Leviticus 14 and let's go back to this sacrificial system. Leviticus 14, 8 to 9. The person to be cleansed must wash their clothes, shave off all their hair and bathe with water. Then they will be ceremonially clean. After this, they may come into the camp, but they must stay outside their tent for 7 days. On the seventh day, they must shave off all their hair. They must shave their head, their beard, their eyebrows, and the rest of their hair. They must wash their clothes and bathe themselves with water, and they will be clean. So what's happened? You okay, Oliver? When the leper was pronounced clean, he had to wash his body. He had to wash his clothes. He had to shave off his hair and couldn't enter the tent for 7 days. And on the seventh day, had to go through the whole ceremonial washing again. Why was that? It was because they were to think about what has happened to them and they were to take time to make themselves as clean as they could from all the remains of the leprosy. Does that make sense? What does that mean for us today? It means once we are pronounced clean by Jesus, we are allowed to enter into Jesus' family and, of course, eternity in heaven, our home. We have the joy of our sins being forgiven, and now with a new understanding of the forgiveness we have received, we take time to thoroughly purge ourselves from our old sins. We take time to think about the way we've sinned in the past, the thing that captivates us, and we do everything possible with the power of the Holy Spirit living within us to cleanse ourselves. So we don't go back to that old way of life. So we don't go back to the former things, the things that made us outcasts, the things that made us unclean. The Bible talks about the bride and the bridegroom. And if you've just started to join our church, there's lots of sermons that I've done last year. And one of those beautiful sermons is on the bride and the bridegroom. And you can get hold of that. And Jenny, give me a wave, Jenny. Jenny has all those sermons. You can get hold of those from there. But we know that one day Jesus, the bridegroom, is returning. And what's our job now? Apart from to share the good news with other people and introduce them to Jesus, our friend, is to get ourselves ready for him coming back. Jesus is coming back. He is coming back. Don't think that he's not. Don't think that we've heard it for centuries, Jesus is coming back. If Jesus has said he's going to do it, he's going to do it. And I think we'll see it. So we are starting as cleansed spiritual lepers to think about our own life and with the power of the Holy Spirit, inviting the Holy Spirit to come and to give us all that we need, we put aside those things of sin. And I believe this year those people that are going to be devoted to Jesus are going to say, I'm not going to go down those paths anymore. I just want you, Jesus. So, as we enter 2018 at the start of this year, the question is, are we dedicating this year to being devoted to him? Yes, it's a good idea, somebody might say. But am I going to do it? No. I want to encourage you to be part of what we're doing this year. I want to encourage you, wherever you are in your walk with God, to say, you know what I'm going to do this year? I'm going to be devoted to him. I'm going to immerse every part of my life in him this year. That's my plan. That's my purpose. That's my focus. That's my goal. If you don't know where God's leading you this year, I want to say to you, that's your direction. Be devoted totally, 100% to him. Is there anything stopping us being totally devoted to him? Alan, could you come? That's great. Close your eyes for a minute. I want you to invite the Holy Spirit to ask you, is there anything that is stopping you right now being totally devoted to him? This morning I was up at 1 o'clock and I was praying for today. And I was writing these notes this morning for about 3 hours till about 4 o'clock, 3:30. The Lord impressed 4 things on my heart. Again, these are the guidelines. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is not to condemn, but this is something I believe God's laid on my heart. You may be visiting today and God bless you. Thank you for being with us. It might be that God wants to speak to you in one of those 4 areas. It might not. This is the first area that I felt God shared with me. Might it be another relationship today where you are more devoted to that person than you are to Jesus? Are you running after somebody? Are you putting them as number one in your life? Do you give them the best and give Jesus the rest? Because if you run after those people, I'll tell you one thing, you'll be disappointed. You'll get disappointment in your life because they'll let you down. They're bound to. And Jesus is saying to you today, look, I've shown you how much I'm devoted to you. I know you can't be devoted to me exactly the same way, but I still want to be number one in your life. I desire that. I've done everything possible to show you how much I'm devoted to you. It's your choice. I can't make you do it, but my heart is that you will respond today and make me number one in my life. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love Joshua and Luma immensely. We often joke about, I'll say to Lydia, I love you more than your mom does. Is he number one today in your life? Because if he's not, you'll be disappointed and it will stop you be devoted to him. Second thing, careers. Might it be a career? Are you devoted to the career more than Jesus? Can I tell you, I had a great career, great job, great opportunities, loads of money. I remember once thinking, haven't I done well in life? I was driving my car and I'd bought myself a new car. And I'm driving down a road and thinking about my job and how good it is. And I drive past some windows and I see the reflection of my nice new car in the windows and thinking, isn't that great? Haven't I done well? That week, the Lord allowed my car to be stolen from church. Sometimes the career can get in the way of the relationship because you might take a job where you can't share Jesus, where you're not allowed to share Jesus. Okay, you might earn the money, you might have the self-worth from the job, But if you have this career desire above Jesus, again, you're going to be disappointed. I went to almost the top of where I could have gone in my business. And people disappointed me. Can I tell you, Jesus has never disappointed me. If it's your career, you need to let Jesus be number one in your life today. You need to hold it very lightly and to let it go. And to say, Lord, I offer this to you today. Might it be money? You know, money is not wrong to have money. I had lots of money. It wasn't wrong to have money. Money was never my God. I have to say, tell you that. Maybe pride was, not money, because I've had money and I've given money away and I don't need money. I've learned to be, as Paul says, content with a little and a lot. But sometimes as Christians, and I see this too often, we think that the money we have every month belongs to us. Can I tell you, it doesn't. 100% of money belongs to him, because he's given you the ability to work. He's given you the job. He's given you the ability to earn that money. And sometimes people say, well, I can't afford to tithe in church. I can't afford to give back to God. Or I'll just give him what's left over. And as long as I've got a nice house, a nice car, nice clothes, nice holidays, all those kind of things, God can have what's left. And we scratch around in our pocket and go, oh, I've got a couple of quid, Lord. I want to tell you, everything belongs to God. Your money belongs to him. And I'm not asking you to give into this church and talk about money just so that you'll give into this church. I haven't talked about tithing for 2.5 years purposely. It doesn't bother me whether you tithe the church or not. But I want to say to you, you cannot afford not to give back to God what belongs to him, to honour him. Because if it gets in the way, you'll not be totally devoted to him. You're devoted to something else. I want to add one more thing to that. I don't want to spend any more. There are people here in this room who used to be sold out in church, that would always give, make sure that they brought their tithes and offerings into church. It was your passion to do, but do you know what? You saw something. You were hurt by the way you gave, and it was mismanaged. It was used wrongly. And you've said, I'm not going to do that again. Never going to do that again. But I want to say to you, Jesus didn't let you down. Maybe a man did, or a leadership team. Maybe somebody did something with the money that you gave that offended you. Jesus did not offend you. People did. And unfortunately, people do those kind of things. Last one. Might seem strange. And this morning I prayed about this and I said to God myself, God, is this me? Are you talking to me in this area? I examine my heart and say, God, if I'm going to speak to this church, I've got to speak to me first. I haven't got the right to speak to this church and challenge them this year if I can't challenge myself. And I will always challenge myself first, because even though I don't point the finger, I need to point the finger at me first and say, God, is this me? But sometimes in life, we can have ongoing sin. Sometimes people still like to hold on to sin. They don't want to let it go. They know God is merciful. They know he's a gracious Savior. They know mercy triumphs over judgment. And it's almost like, okay, well, God knows, and he's going to allow me to do this. Well, I want to come to you today and say 2018 is the year for you to let go of that. It may be an addiction. It may be all kinds of things. This is your year to let it go. In fact, not only is it your year, it's your month. That this month, you will meet with Jesus in a very powerful way. And those things that have drawn you and pulled you back will no longer be a problem to you this year. You might say, thank you, Lord, I'm not in any of those four categories. And that's wonderful. But do you love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength? Do you? If you don't, what are you going to do about it? What will you do today? Would you stand with me today? Would you just place your hand upon your heart? I don't need to know any of those things. I don't need you to come and tell me. I don't want you to come and tell me unless you feel you need to. But I want you to invite Jesus now, who's totally devoted to you, for you to say, today, Lord Jesus, what I want to do, regardless of my past, I can't change my past. I can't live and let the past dictate my future, because if we do what we've always done, it will dictate your future when you will have what you've already got now. You invite the Lord Jesus and say, Holy Spirit, come, Lord Jesus. Touch my heart. First of all, Lord, give me a revelation of this devotion you have for me. And Lord, would you help me to be totally devoted to you today? I give myself over to you today. So just as the musicians just played, just for a couple of minutes, not even a couple of minutes, would you just speak to the Lord now, yourself? Tell him. Invite him. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're a merciful high priest. We love you so much. We thank you for everything you've done for us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.